Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Juniper Hotels Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. This conference call and this presentation prepared by Juniper Hotels Limited has been solely prepared for information purposes and does not constitute a sale offer or any invitation to subscribe for or purchase of equity shares. The information and data which forms the basis of this presentation has been derived from sources that the company considers to be reliable. Certain statements disclosed in this presentation or that may be disclosed over this call may relate to company's growth prospects that are forward-looking statements within the meaning of applicable securities laws and regulations. These forward-looking statements are not guarantees of future performance as they are subject to known and unknown risks which are beyond the control of the company. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Varun Saraf, CEO from Juniper Hotels Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Saraf.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on our earnings call. I would like to start by informing everyone that Juniper Hotels has received a letter of intent from Saraf Hotels regarding exercising of their ROFO option. This letter of intent has been tabled before the board, and the board has formed a committee to evaluate this opportunity. The two hotels under acquisition are Hyatt Regency Mumbai and Hyatt Regency Chennai. These potential value-accretive acquisitions will add approximately 750 keys to the Juniper portfolio and will have an immediate impact on the company's performance. One of the assets is already operational, and the other one is expected to be operational by the end of the current calendar year. The management is currently exploring scenarios on how to integrate these assets within the Juniper portfolio in the most efficient manner. We have onboarded industry experts and consultants to advise us regarding the structuring of these acquisitions. Details about the structure, cost, and timelines will be disclosed in due course. To further update you on our Bangalore acquisition, we have taken over the possession of the asset. Currently, a team of 20 people have been deployed on site, led by our project's head. The team has initiated interior works and MEP work streams in the rooms and the public area. We have onboarded the original designers and contractors to complete the hotel. The timeline for opening the Bangalore hotel would be the end of the current calendar year. This acquisition in Bangalore will add approximately 240 rooms to our existing portfolio of rooms. A second acquisition has been also. We have also received board approval for the acquisition of a Kaziranga leasehold land to develop a five-star luxury hotel close to the national park. It is proposed to be a 120-room luxury resort to be operated by Hyatt. Currently, the designing and planning is underway, and we hope to start construction in Q3 of the current calendar year. The hotel will be operational by 2029, and we expect estimated CapEx of approximately 100 crore. With two confirmed hotels and two potential acquisitions on the table, I'm proud to say in the first year of the listing of Juniper Hotels, we have visibility on adding approximately 1,100 rooms and four hotels to our existing portfolio. Further, Grand Hyatt Mumbai has completed all renovation works. What we had started pre-IPO about 18 months ago is now complete. The showroom, the new restaurant Cellini, the bar, and 400 rooms renovation for which has all been completed, and the hotel is fully operational with all revenue streams kicking in. With this, I would like to hand over to Tarun Jaitley, our CFO, to give an overview on the numbers.
Thank you, Varun. On the performance side, since the presentation is already there with everybody, I'll just stick to some of the key highlights for the quarter. Q3 FY25 saw us achieving the highest income. Revenue at 261 crore is up 17% sequentially. primarily driven by star performance of Andaz and Grand Hyatt ARRs. Both the assets have actually outperformed the comp set, peer comp set, as far as the ARR performance is concerned year to date. The strong ARR performance continues in Jan, where at Grand Hyatt and Andaz, both the assets are seeing between 10 to 12% YOY increase in ARR even in Jan 25. Another important facet is that we've achieved the highest EBITDA of 101 crore in third quarter, which is a 39% sequential growth. Importantly, EBITDA margin has improved to 39% from 33% in Q2, and we are on track to achieve a normative EBITDA levels of around 42-43% at the corporate level. Grand Hyatt, the operating profit of Grand Hyatt at the operating level has increased in Jan from 43% to upwards of 50%. And this is an important factor which underlines the fact that the Grand Hyatt is achieving stabilization, and the performance of Grand Hyatt now going forward will contribute to the performance of overall company as we move forward in the next few quarters. Strong top line and EBITDA growth has led to a PBT of 43.5 crores, which is 118% sequential growth. In this quarter, there is 11 crore notional reversal of the DTA, net of which the PAT is 32.5 crores, which is significantly above the last quarter. With that, I'd like to hand over to Mr. Maman, who is the COO, to give you a brief business overview, and then I will step back in.
Good afternoon. Q3 25 has been a strong quarter marked by the full operational return of Grand Hyatt Mumbai since December 24. Following the successful completion of refurbishment across rooms, the Grand Club and the Grand Showroom. The Grand Showroom launch has been a resounding success, setting a new benchmark for premium event space in the city. It is widely embraced as the preferred venue for high-end socials and corporate events. Andaz delivered exceptional performance, achieving a 25% year-on-year increase in RevPAR, outpacing competition set at 19% growth. Compared to the previous year, ADR in Andaz surged 29% and 28% on year-on-year growth based on strong market performance, contract and renegotiations on rates, which has been the strategy of the portfolio. The total revenue for the quarter stands at 261, which is a sequential growth of 18%. ADR grew sequentially at 19% and RevPAR at 25%. The outlook for the next few quarters continues to be robust, driven by strong corporate demand, large-scale corporate events, and high-profile social gatherings across the portfolio. We will possibly outperform concept based on the fact that Grand Hyatt Mumbai has returned to stabilization. IT business mix is another focus area across the group, and a sharper focus on reviving our F&B across the hotels. Over to you, Tarun.
Thank you, Mr. Maman. Another important factor that I want to share is that our balance sheet strength remains very strong. Our debt position, the net debt position to EBITDA, at 1.5x, net debt of 540 crores as of December quarter three. We have a significant headroom for growth capital to fund the proposed acquisitions, as Varun touched upon in the earlier part of the speech. Balance sheet ratios, whether on the working capital side or the gearing side, remain fairly healthy. And with that, I would like to conclude the presentation and throw the floor open to questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to please use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Abhay Khaitan from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Varun and Tanuj. So thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is actually has two parts. So firstly, for the luxury hotels, so in the presentation you have mentioned the ARR growth is 14% YOY. And now that you have mentioned that for Andaz, the RevPAR growth is 25%. So just wanted to understand the ARR growth between Andaz Delhi and Grand Hyatt Mumbai. How has it fared between the two hotels? And for in particularly Andaz, I wanted to understand if you have taken a high double-digit ARR growth there, how much do you think it can sustain going forward?
So look, you know, as I said, there are two parameters that I would like to share with you. That on an ARR basis, both Grand Hyatt and Andaz have outperformed the comp set, peer comp set. So just to share the specific numbers, and I'm giving you YCD numbers. Grand Hyatt ARR grew 8.4% vis-a-vis the comp set of 6.1, and Andaz 19.1% vis-a-vis 4.3. And this is, when I say YTD, I'm talking about the December month, right, up to December month. And the trajectory continues in Jan, as I said, in January, and to give you specific numbers, on top of the ARR growth, which we saw till December, Grand Hyatt has seen a 12% YOY variance in ARR positive, and Andaz 10% ARR growth in Jan. So that trajectory continues, and we believe with the more fresher products in Grand Hyatt, and also focus on improving the contribution of transients and group, we should see outperformance continue on the ARR side for Juniper from these two assets.
Understood. So for Grand Hyatt Mumbai, given the renovations, are you expecting a higher ARR growth going forward?
That is right. That's what I said. You know, there are two factors, right? One is a fresher product, and second is the focus on, you know, transient and groups. So these would be the two factors which will enable us to do better than the comp set and continue to do so going forward. Another important thing which I want to share, so just to cap up this, is, you know, as I shared earlier in my earlier part of the speech, in Jan, the operating performance at the operating level, the operating EBITDA of Grand Hyatt increased from 43% to 50%. This basically underlines the fact that Grand Hyatt is getting back into normalcy, and being the mothership, which is, you know, 50% of the corporate EBITDA came from Grand Hyatt, this will be a significant positive influencer for our EBITDA going forward as well.
To further add to that, you asked the question on Andaz and whether we'll be able to sustain that. I believe that Q4 will be very strong, and that will continue going forward as well. The growth may not be at the same level, but we will definitely be able to sustain the current RevPAR and head on in a positive direction.
Okay, thank you. That was helpful. I also wanted to understand about other upscale and upper upscale hotels as well. So for them, I see the ARR has actually declined YOY in the third quarter. So any particular reason? Is it because any particular hotel that we are seeing, or is it overall an industry trend? Because even in the industry data, we have been seeing that non-metro cities have actually done worse than metros. So is that more on that line, or is there any particular asset that has underperformed?
No, so on the upper upscale, the only asset which you see is Ahmedabad, and that was also because, you know, last year comparative period, there was event specific, ARR increase. So it's a higher base effect that you saw in Ahmedabad. But again, I would say that, Ahmedabad is operating today at 98% occupancy for the past two consecutive months. So, you know, this is on additional capacity. The room additions that we had done, that's got fully absorbed, and it's, you know, operating at significant, occupancy levels. And we believe that, you know, given the strength in the micro market in Ahmedabad, you know, the ARRs will continue to hold firm.
So we do not see a decline in the non-metro cities in the upper upscale in terms of rate. I think the rates will hold and only increase.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, and then last question is on the EBITDA margin. So we have seen for the quarter that it has declined to 37%, but I guess this includes the renovation cost that happened in Grand Hyatt Mumbai as well. But once that is done, what is the ideal consolidated EBITDA margin that you are looking at, and what will be the driver of that?
So look, I said, you know, I already shared that with you, right? I mean, in Q3, there was roughly around 140 rooms which are out for almost 40 days in this quarter, in Grand Hyatt. That is the impact, which was there in 3Q. Despite that, we've kind of held the EBITDA at 102 crores, and the EBITDA margin has increased by, you know, from 33% to 39%. We are on track to achieve 42%-43% EBITDA. What will drive it, as I said, in Jan, you know, Grand Hyatt, which was at 43%, has gone up to 50+ at the asset level. You know, Delhi is already operating at 50%. So this would be the key contributor to margin improvement over the next few quarters.
Okay. Thank you. I'll get back to the queue. Thank you for this.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Lokesh Manik from Vallum Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon to the team. The first question was on the non-luxury side of the portfolio. So when you say that the EBITDA is, you know, 50% is contributed by Grand Hyatt, then the rest 50% comes from non-Grand Hyatt hotels. Are they under-indexed to the, you know, parent company where the margins, in my estimation, would come somewhere around 25% versus Grand Hyatt is coming at 50%? So any steps we are taking out there to bring that up to the console level or the comp set level of 40% EBITDA margin?
Hi, Lokesh. If I understood your question, you say that normally for smaller size hotels, you've seen EBITDA at around 20s or mid-20s. Is that what you, if I've understood?
Yes.
Okay. So for us, you know, traditionally, and this is not just for this quarter, you know, we are fairly efficient from the perspective of the EBITDA that we get from our assets that we own. Even the smaller assets, for instance, if I were to give you an example in quarter three, you know, the asset level EBITDA for an asset like Hampi would be 46%. While, you know, in the INR crore, it's a smaller contribution because I'm a smaller asset than Grand Hyatt. But as a percentage, it's 46% EBITDA at the asset level. So, you know, we, you know, as far as EBITDA is concerned on these smaller assets, we obviously are doing much better than what other industry sector peers are able to achieve.
Understood. My second question was on the new asset acquisition in Assam property. There we are planning 116 rooms. You know, as per past commentary, you know, you mentioned that any asset you acquired, you would want, you know, big box assets at least 300 keys, you know, and this is 116. So any reason for deviation from that strategy for Assam?
Sure. So our focus still remains on big box assets, but when we actually get an opportunity in niche segments, we will also continue to explore those. For example, so Assam government has come up with a scheme to promote the national park. At the end of the day, we're in the tourism space. This luxury asset of 120 rooms will help in the development of the much needed infrastructure to promote tourism in that sector. If you came through the recent budget, right, the government is promoting various destinations. So we are aligned with the India growth story. Our business hotels will be our focus. But when value accretive opportunities for development comes in, when we can integrate with the India growth story, we would also be exploring those. I believe this 120-room hotel in Kaziranga will be the first branded hotel there. It will open up the Northeast for future tourism development as well, and I think it would be a good addition to our portfolio.
Fair enough. Do you have space to expand if required in the future?
The site is actually, no, the land is big, but we're actually going to build the 120. If opportunity presents, yes, we will expand, but currently we do not see that requirement coming up immediately.
Fair enough. Fair enough. That's all from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saurabh Bansal from Star Finvest. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good afternoon, and thank you for taking the question. I have two questions on the ROFO intimation which has been given. Question one, is there a timeline by which the company plans to take a decision or a final call on this? Also, because is there any deadline which has been given in the ROFO offer by the promoters by which the company needs to take a call? So that is question one, please.
So on the timeline, as I said, the board has created a committee. The committee will start the evaluation process. We hope before the end of the current financial year, we should have some clarity on this. So that's the timeline.
All right. Is there any deadline which has been given in the ROFO by which the company needs to take a call?
There is no deadline as such which has been given in the ROFO letter. But as you're aware, the promoters are the ones who are promoters of Juniper are the ones who have exercised this ROFO option, and we do have some control on that side in terms of the timelines as well.
So I'll just add to what Varun is saying. Hi, Tarun here. This ROFO was discussed at the board, and the board directed us, the management, to constitute a subcommittee. And the intent of that is to take it in a speedy manner and expeditiously and revert back on the assessment of ROFO and reply back to the Saraf panel.
Got it. All right. And the second part is that how would you be looking at valuing these assets? For example, in the previous calls, we have already highlighted that it's mostly going to be a non-cash transaction. So what would be the thought process in terms of valuing these assets? Will it be on an NAV basis, book value basis, replacement cost models? Any direction or any indication that you could give?
Yes, Saurabh. So as we discussed in the past, is that this is a process. We have taken a few steps already. And I would say that, you know, this ROFO invocation letter is a major milestone. Constitution of the subcommittee is a major milestone in that entire journey. As per the direction to the management, we have to evaluate the most optimal manner to get this in, which we are in the process of. There are options in which we can get this integrated into Juniper. Most likely could be a cash swap.
A share swap. Thank you so much. That's it. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask questions, you may please press star and one on your touchtone telephones. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. We have the next question from the line of Abhay Khaitan from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks. So one more question. So my question is on the Kaziranga project. So basically, the circular mentions that this is more of a PPP project. So just wanted to understand whether this entire hotel will be 100% held by Juniper, or is there some other government stake as well? And secondly, on the 100 crore capex that you have been talking about, so what will be the split of this capex? How much of this will be spent in the next 2-3 years, and how much in the end?
Sure. So this is not a PPP project. This is a leasehold land which we have taken for 99 years. So it is 100% owned by us. The lease belongs to Juniper Hotels. The second part in terms of CapEx, the CapEx will be spread over 3 years. We do intend to start construction in September of this year, so it's in September 2025. It's a three-year project construction, 3 to 3.5 years. The initial design phase will be for about 6 to 9 months, which will require very, very minimal investment. Once the full swing construction starts, the funds will be used in a proportionate manner. So it would be spread across the 3.5 years, starting September.
Got it. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask questions, you may please press star and one. We have the next question from the line of Saurabh Bansal from Star Finvest. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking one more question. Just one simple question. What is the kind of thought behind the management when they look at setting up a new project in terms of the IRR that the company wants to generate on that?
So we usually try and target high teens. One of our criteria is the land cost needs to be within a certain limit here. At least if you're referring to the Kaziranga acquisition, it is, the land cost is very nominal, and the opportunity that presents itself will be very valuable for the company.
All right. All right. Also, just one more thing. Will there be a swap, let's say a non-cash swap for both of the possible ROFO assets under consideration, or will it be a case-to-case basis as to a cash and a non-cash transaction?
So most likely both the assets will come in a share swap.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one if you wish to ask questions. We have the next question from the line of Aman Goyal from Axis Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Sir, my question is related to outlook on the corporate MICE events. Do you see any slowness in this segment? I mean, there is a sluggish growth in the economy, and do you see any lagging on this part?
No. As I mentioned in my speech, we see a robust demand driver for the next 2 to 3 quarters. That's the indication.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one if you wish to ask questions. We have the next question from the line of Sugandhi from FedEx Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Congratulations on the great results. My question is with regard to the ROFO assets again. Could you give us an idea about, these are going to go through, what kind of net debt to equity we are looking at? You know, I'm just trying to get an idea of how much leverage we have in these assets.
So, you know, if we look at both the companies, on one of them, which is already operational, the debt level when it will come in would be, from a net debt perspective, it would not carry, any net debt. On the second one, we could look at 1x to the expected EBITDA of debt that would come in along with that asset. But from a Juniper standpoint, with both the assets coming in, we would still, be within the limits of net debt to EBITDA that we've set for ourselves on a sustainable basis of roughly around 2.5x, on a sustainable basis. I think, with those two assets coming in, we would still be around there.
Sure, thank you. And what, could you give us an idea of how long it would take for, for you to bring the second asset up to operational levels, in terms of number of months or the amount of, I'm not sure if you can share this, amount of expenditure it would entail in terms of time and, just your topic.
So, we are expecting, as per the current estimates, the way I understand it, the work stream to get that asset operational is already underway. significant amount of work has already been done. Our estimates are that the Mumbai asset should become operational by the end of this calendar year should start then contributing as we get into FY26. I would also like to take this opportunity to extend a formal invite to anybody who is interested in visiting that hotel. Our IR team can organize a visit and communicate a day and coordinate and take your convenience and coordinate a time for the visit to the asset in Mumbai.
Thank you so much. And the other asset, any numbers you can share on capacity utilization?
Sorry?
The occupancy levels of the Chennai asset.
So just give us a second. Chennai today would be upwards of 78% to 80% occupancy, and we expect a significant occupancy level in the asset in Mumbai once it becomes operational.
Thank you, sir. That's it from us.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Aman Goyal from Axis Securities. Please go ahead.
So my question is related to Grand Showroom. So what is the reported revenue for this quarter, and what is the EBITDA margin for the showroom?
Right. As I mentioned to you, the showroom is a very premium space, and we are targeted upwards of 30 crores for the year, and we seem to be well on track in terms of the kind of profile and kind of rates that we are able to drive. It's a process, but we are pretty confident we'll get there.
And sir, what about subsidiary CHPL? What is the reported revenue and operated margin for the subsidiary, like for the 9 months or for this quarter?
So CHPL should be roughly around 24, 25 crores of revenue. I'll give the exact number. And, if you were to look at, again, an asset EBITDA, I will share that, Lucknow was at around 46%. As already stated, Hampi was at 46% and Raipur at around 36% EBITDA at the asset level in total.
What about Ahmedabad?
Sorry, Ahmedabad does not come into chartered. Ahmedabad is within Juniper.
Okay.
So you asked for chartered.
You said for Q3, right?
Yes, these are Q3 numbers.
Aman, does that answer your question? Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any further questions, you may press star and one to join the question queue. Participants who have questions may press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question.
So I think since there are no further questions, I would just answer the specific number that was asked on chartered, and then we could end the call. The EBITDA for chartered for Q3 is roughly 14 crores. And the top line, gross top line, including the chartered Hampi 3 asset, is 37 crores for the quarter 3.
As we have no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Tarun Jaitley, CFO, for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, everybody, for taking time out to coming on to this call. As I said, there's an invitation that we'd like to extend to everyone. If anybody's interested in seeing and visiting the Mumbai hotel asset, and if there are any following queries, feel free to reach out to us. Thank you again for taking time. Have a nice day.
Thank you. On behalf of Juniper Hotels Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.